Hello and welcome to the season finale of Missouri Capital Chat, the Missouri Chamber's political and legislative podcast. As always, I'm your host, Ross Lean. Here with me to talk about the end of session is Kara Cortes. Kara, how are you?
Doing great. We're done with session and we can breathe a little bit easier.
Absolutely. And Carol Mitchell. Carol, how's it going?
I am feeling fantastic. Got some rest in after session. How are you, Ross?
Oh, I'm just dandy. Before we jump into what we're talking about today, I do want to take a moment to thank our sponsor at Missouri Capital Chat, GovWatch, Missouri's unbiased legislative intelligence service. Learn more at govwatch.net. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about the last week of session and then kind of wrap up all the things that we've been talking about all session long. You know, 44 non-budget bills, 19 budget bills. So I think a lot more things passed than most of us predicted, you know, even just a few weeks ago. But let's talk about the final week and specifically about what happened in the Senate, Kara. Early in the week, they got some things done. They kind of buried the hatchet, if you will, were semi-productive. And then that all kind of came to a screeching halt and they ended a day.
Yeah, it was certainly not without drama. The final week of session in the Senate, which is par for the course of the entirety of the 2022 legislative session. I think things kind of came to a head over a bill that Senator Holly Rader had. It was a health care bill. It had a lot of, you know, various needed provisions in it. But as we've talked about, there has certainly been some fireworks between Senator Rader and the Conservative caucus. She certainly has stood up for herself and has made a point to call out some of the antics that has happened over the past session. I know we talked about a bill she had for sexual assault survivors that the Conservative caucus kind of held up, and then she held a press conference. And, you know, she certainly is not someone I would ever want to mess with. Senator Rader had a healthcare type of omnibus bill that the Conservative caucus started filibustering, and then things kind of blew up at that point.
Yeah, I mean, they tried to bring it up multiple times, and there was a lot of, you know, kind of backroom dealings on, are we going to get this done? Let's move on and work on a few other things. You know, I think it was interesting that the very next bill they brought up was another omnibus bill, and it was Doug Beck's bill that had several of the same provisions that they let pass pretty easily. So, you know, a lot of talk on the floor about how things have gotten very personal. Senator Rader's bill ended up not making it to the finish line. But we did get congressional maps as the very, pretty much the very last thing that they did in Senate.
Yeah. And I think, though, even getting to the congressional maps, it was a little bit of maneuvering. They made a sort of procedural motion to pass the House map that was sent over about 2 weeks ago now at this point, and the Conservative caucus was not able to necessarily block the passage of it. And so it did pass with a pretty significant majority, I would say. That triggered some pretty heated floor speeches between Senate leadership and the Conservative caucus and even others in the final days of session. I mean, even Senator Elaine Gannon got up and spoke against the Conservative caucus's tactics this year.
Yeah, no, I think you make an interesting point. And I think, you know, Senator Gannon and even Senator Sirpoy, both who are, you know, typically very level-headed and don't get involved in the chaos of the Senate very often, you know, chimed in and said, hey, guys, enough is enough. You know, let's get some things done. At the end of the day, like you said, they passed the maps, and that was essentially the last thing they did. They adjourned for the year on Thursday around, I think it was 7 or 8 p.m., didn't even come in on Friday, and left the House to kind of handle what was left. And so on Friday, you saw a lot of things in the House that, you know, had House committee substitutes or conference reports that, you know, they had to either, you know, skip over or, you know, strip back to whatever the Senate had passed to try to get a few things done. And the House, I think, did a great job of getting some bills done on the last day. Like we said, you know, 44 things ended up getting TAFP that were non-budget bills, which, you know, it's definitely less than a normal year, I think, but not nearly as low as I think we thought it was going to be even a month ago.
Absolutely. I didn't think we would get probably even half of that number of bills TAFP'd. It has certainly been a painful process this year, which anyone can attest who spent time in the Capitol. Well, you mentioned, you know, roughly 40 bills got done outside of the budget, but it felt much more challenging to get those 40 bills done. And that was just because of all the tensions that were taking place and being kind of on the chopping block all the time. It felt like every single group was fighting. I know we were fighting until the very last day of session to make sure anti-business proposals did not pass. So I think it was just, it really felt like an uphill battle this whole session. Hopefully looking forward, next session is a little bit more productive and a little less painful for all of us.
Whoa, Garrett, no, I don't even want to talk about next session yet. I'm still tired from the last one that ended, you know, 3 days ago, so.
Yeah, we may need a little bit of therapy and some time in the outdoors to refocus ourselves.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about some of the things that we've been talking about all session. A lot of good things were able to get past, some things that we're happy didn't pass, and maybe a few that we wish would have. But let's start with our number one priority this year and every year. Workforce development, obviously the big ticket item there. Fast track was the very last bill passed Friday before the House adjourned. You know, really a big win for everybody, the governor's office, for the chamber, for all of our members.
Yeah, it almost felt Shakespearean in nature because fast track was actually the first policy bill that came out of the Senate this year. But it was the last one to be passed at the end of session in the House. We are just really happy to see that this vital workforce program is reauthorized. As we've talked about again and again, workforce is the number one issue for businesses across the state, whether you're a large or small business, rural or urban business. We know that we don't have, you know, nearly the number of workers with the right skills to fill open jobs. And so we need to be doing everything we can as a state to address this. The Fast Track program is an adult scholarship program for individuals under a certain income threshold to get trained via degree, certificate, or certification. And there was also an expansion of Fast Track in terms of allowing fast track funds to pay for apprenticeship costs, which is that earn as you learn model, which we so very, very support at the Missouri Chamber. There was a sunset on the fast track program that would have caused it to expire this year. And the reauthorization of fast track now extends the program to at least 2029, which we are thrilled to see. This bill was championed by Senator Lincoln Huff, which I just need to mention is a champion for business time and time again. This session, he has really gone to bat for business. So we applaud him. It was also carried in the House by Representative Travis Fitzwater, who did a really amazing job maneuvering this in the game of chess at the end of session where things are getting traded and trying to figure out how to get a bill across the finish line. Representative Fitzwater really shepherded this really well in the House to get this done. So we applaud the General Assembly for getting this done and look forward to, as usual, continue to work on workforce policy. There were a few other bills related to workforce development that also made it across the finish line. And I should say, for any listeners who are not in the Capitol like we are day in and day out, a lot of these bills got packaged into what we call omnibus bills, which are kind of these just massive bills that get amended. Numerous bills get amended onto one bill. And so a lot of these final products may not be the original bill number that we started talking about in the beginning of session. They got amended onto an omnibus bill. And so they passed in different vehicles, one of which is reforms to our One Start program. Our One Start program is operated through the Department of Economic Development. And it's a kind of like a concierge service for businesses who are looking to expand or relocate into the state and provides them with a variety of services like workforce training. There are some reforms made to the One Start program through legislation to help businesses be able to use funds for recruitment or relocation costs. And also, you know, just variety of workforce programs. So we were happy to see that get across the finish line. I know in the Senate, Senator Carla Esslinger was a shepherd of that. Moving on to another provision that we were proud to see get across finish line, something we've worked on for, I think, the past three legislative sessions, the Workforce Diploma Program. This helps adults go back to school to get a diploma versus a GED. And along with the diploma, they also have access to a variety of workforce type of certifications and credentials. And so again, we need to be using all the tools in our toolbox, Ross, you love that phrase. And this workforce diploma program is another way to help more individuals get a high school diploma and get prepared for the workforce. So it's a win-win.
Absolutely. And you know, you mentioned some of those omnibus bills. There's a few other things that were passed along with those. I know the time zones bill was part of the fast track legislation, which allows municipalities, whether it's counties, cities, you know, local townships, to join together, pool resources, and pay for infrastructure, which creates economic development in some of the rural areas. Within the Ag Omnibus Bill, there was also the Rural Jobs Act that passed, which will, I think, invest a lot of capital into the rural parts of Missouri, which is exciting. And then kind of one of my favorite projects I've had the chance to work on the last couple of years, and that's the Research and Development Tax Credit that passed in the same bill as the One Start reform. And this is, you know, a really great program that I think will bring a lot of tech and innovation jobs and companies to the state of Missouri. It's a tax credit for, you know, research expenses, partnering with universities, which I think is great for our students and our four-year and two-year institutions. So again, a lot of really exciting things and some of those really big bills. Carol, I also want to turn to you and talk a little bit about the automation adjustment, that something we finally passed this year. We were able to get it done without a sunset, which I think is exciting as well.
Yes, and this automation adjustment was on two separate bills, one by Representative Andrews and one by Senator Bernskeeter, but it actually passed as an amendment on Representative Porter's HB 2168. The automation adjustment funds the maintenance and upgrade costs for Missouri's online unemployment platform, UInteract. And the platform helps prevent fraud while making it easier for employers and claimants to work with the Department of Employment Security. And we are excited that it was passed, and especially without a sunset.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in the wake of COVID and all the things that we saw with unemployment and all those things, I think improving the technology for the Department of Labor, making things easier for citizens and for the department to make sure they track things and get everything right. We've seen how important that is. So exciting that we got that done. Kara, it was another big year for some of our utility members. There was another utility package that was passed this year. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. The Missouri Chamber, our priority is always going to be making sure that our infrastructure systems are modernized and constantly improved. And part of infrastructure, a vital part, I should say, are our utility infrastructure. So the systems that operate our electricity and gas and water and wastewater. And this year there was another utility package that was passed that would essentially extend some of these deadlines related to grid modernization, economic development opportunities. What the package does, it allows utilities to make investments to modernizing infrastructure more proactively, which we view as a very good thing. And all at the same time, keeping rates affordable and making sure our electric and gas grid, they are both reliable and resilient. We want to make sure that Missouri is protected from an event like we saw in Texas, where people lost access to gas, electricity, and water. And by continuing to modernize our infrastructure for electric, gas, and water systems, we can make sure that our residents and businesses always have reliable access to those vital services. And I should mention, there was a lot of different people working on this package, one of which was Representative Michael O'Donnell in the House, Senator Mike Searpoy in the Senate, as well as Senator Bill White. So they were a great trifecta to get this package across the finish line.
Absolutely. You know, one of the new things that we've been focusing on this year, and you've heard us talk a lot about, is technology and innovation. We're able to get a few things done. I know the computer science bill, Kara, that something that we've worked on the last few years and that you were finally able to get over the finish line this year.
So as you mentioned before, at the Missouri Chamber, we're always trying to focus on what type of assets to Missouri's economy are going to continue to grow and expand, and one of which is our tech sector. We are a top state for tech job growth, for women in tech, for diversity in our tech workforce, and for tech manufacturing. So we want to be doing everything we can via policy to make sure that Missouri is advancing our tech and innovation economy. And two bills that I'm going to talk about will help do this, one of which is the computer science bill. I know there was a lot of different stakeholders working on this, and it was an important bill that would require computer science coursework in our public education system and also create a computer science education task force. Why this is important is every job of today and the future relies on computer skills, and computer science that covers a variety of different skills, whether that's networking, software engineering. There's so many different facets to tech jobs that are built upon the basics of computer science. So I know when I went to high school, which was a long time ago, we were typing and that was it. And so a lot of people think, oh, is computer science typing? No, it is so much more advanced than that. And we want to be doing everything we can to be training our students today for the jobs of tomorrow. We are in a global competition for jobs, and the most usually sole factor that kind of makes the final decision of if a company is going to relocate or expand to another state is the availability of the workforce. Does that state have the workforce with the right skills? And I think by passing this legislation on computer science, we are setting Missouri up to be very successful in landing high-tech jobs in the future. Also, along those lines, there is a bill to essentially change some regulations that will help attract advanced recycling into Missouri. This is a really high-tech industry that's kind of changing the recycling process. And this bill was also able to get over the finish line, which is a good thing for growing those high-tech industries in Missouri.
Absolutely. A lot of important stuff. I don't want to miss anything, but I think it's important to move on and talk about some of the things that didn't pass, namely the vaccine mandate language that, you know, you've all heard us talk about so much, that you've seen us, you know, send out alerts on. Kara, let business decide has been our motto all session long. And we were able to make it the entire session without any, you know, vaccine mandates put onto any of our employers here in Missouri. And I think that's a huge win. And I think that's a huge win for the chamber, but also for the business community as a whole for the state.
Absolutely. That is my favorite motto of the year, let business decide. And we are really proud to report that the General Assembly did ultimately let businesses decide on their vaccine policies. I think we've tallied how many times there were different bills brought up or amendments on the floor. And in total, there were about 60 different attempts in the General Assembly this session to limit employers' ability to require vaccines in the workplace. As we've talked about time and time again, this is a principle of free enterprise. If the legislature is going to set vaccine policies for private businesses now, what could be next? They don't like different policies in their handbooks and they're going to legislate that. And so for us, it's a very slippery slope. If you start going down the pathway of banning any vaccine requirements in the workplace, what could be next could be pretty scary. And so we fought tooth and nail to the very end to make sure that any of these policies would not apply to private businesses. I think the only two vaccine mandates, quote unquote, that were passed were related to public sector vaccine requirements, so by political subdivisions or by the state. However, we were proud to stop a lot of the anti-business policies that were introduced. And it wasn't just through legislation. It was also through the budget process, as we discussed. When Representative Chris Sander put language on over, I think, 13 budget bills that would have, in some form or fashion, sought to prohibit employers from exercising their right to require vaccines. So we were also able to get that stripped off the budget. I know that everyone's probably tired of hearing me talk about vaccines, but
I know I am.
I thought you really enjoyed it. This took a lot of time this session for us to fight. And I think this shows a testament to our members that when we work together, we can make sure that we stop anti-business policies. We had a sign-on letter where I think about 300 businesses signed on to say, let business decide. And I think that sent a really strong message to the General Assembly that we will always fight for businesses' rights.
Absolutely. And I think the business community's voice was strong and was heard this year. And I think that's important. A few other things to note, you know, we were also able to, you know, stop any talk of a repeal of the gas tax. It did come to a vote in the House, but was defeated pretty significantly. We were able to fight back some anti-pharmacy benefit manager language that would have really increased costs for consumers and for businesses, or some really bad things that we were able to stop from happening. A few other things that I'll just mention that we really wish could have got over the finish line this year, but we'll be back fighting for next year. Obviously, statute of limitations, really no tort reform happening this year in quite a chaotic session. Our cybersecurity grant program that we were really excited to introduce this year was not able to get over the finish line. And then sports gaming, sports gambling. For those of you who like to bet on sports games, you'll have to take it to a different state for at least one more year. But a lot of great things, like we said, got done, and some bad things that didn't get done. One more thing I want to mention that did get done is the tax exemption for the FIBA World Cup. Kansas City and the state of Missouri is in the running to be a host in 2026 for the World Cup. And there was a little tax exemption on the sale of tickets that had to get done before FIBA would even consider us. So we're able to get that done. So Missouri is in line to possibly host some World Cup games, which I think is exciting for the state and could really have a massive economic impact on the Kansas City area. Now that we're done with session, we are going to be continuing this podcast throughout the summer. Obviously, it is an election year and election season. We've got primaries coming up in August, and we've got general elections coming up in November. We'll be focusing a lot on a lot of the state House and state Senate races. Obviously, there's also a big U.S. Senate race, and the Missouri Chamber PAC will be looking at making endorsements, probably specifically for some state Senate and state House races. We'll be talking to a lot of these candidates and making sure that we can get the right people in that are good for business and good for the state of Missouri as a whole. But we'll be back talking a lot about campaign season as we move through the summer.
Yeah, and I know we'll be doing our vote ratings also to let our members know who supported business this session and who did not. And I imagine we'll probably talk about that on the podcast as well. And hopefully we'll get those out soon so everyone can know when they're making those election decisions this year. And we should just thank all of our members who have been so incredibly helpful this year, whether that was writing a letter or making a phone call to their legislator on a key piece of legislation like Fast Track, or to oppose any of those vaccine mandates on businesses. I know this year, I think we had a record number of emails and phone calls made to legislators from businesses across the state. And I think it just shows that when we work together, we can do really great things.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, you know, you brought up the vote ratings, which hopefully will be out in the next few weeks. You know, there's a lot of legislators that, whether it's, you know, on their social media or on the campaign trail, say they're pro-business. And I think it'll be interesting to see which of them actually vote pro-business and which one of them maybe, you know, don't vote so pro-business and are just saying they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I said, we'll be back in the next few weeks to talk about all these things and talk about elections moving forward. But for now, this has been Missouri Capital Chat.